Welcome to the Bethany Community Church Podcast for August 21st, 2016. This week's sermon is titled, Seeds of Eternal Life.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Bethany. Isn't it great to have Brian Keating here with us this morning? So glad to have him back to lead us in worship this morning. And I want to thank you guys. I was thinking about this over the weekend. It's hard to believe I've been in ministry of some sort or another, pastoral ministry, for 19 years. And this is by far, and I'm not just saying this because I happen to be here this morning, this is by far my favorite place to speak. I think because I can just be myself, for better or worse. And so you get this. But I got to tell you, I was so impressed by your response last week to service. The altars were full of people saying they wanted to pull weeds out of their lives, and that meant so much to me and so much to the kingdom. And then after preaching about pulling weeds, I come home Monday from work, and someone has pulled all the weeds out of my flower beds. I was trying to decide, should I be blessed by this or convicted? I decided to be blessed because those were weeds I didn't have to pull. So someone suggested, Mike Sutton, that I consider some other sermon series that I might be able to preach, you know, from time to time here to help me out with some other things. So next time I get, you know, pastor goes out of town or he wants me to substitute, I might preach on wash what. And my cars are always there. Or maybe we could do launder what. Because I want to help Jessie out too, because she does most of our laundry, so I want to help her out. Or this one, this would be a tough one, but maybe scrub what? Some of you are turning to your spouse right now and go, I can't believe that he's put a toilet up on the screen in service on a Sunday morning. Well, guess what? I was bound to say or do something this morning that might bother you. So I thought, let's get it over with now. You can take the toilet off. You can take the toilet off. There you go. I will take the hat off. And let's get moving. So last week, we talked about sowing what? We talked about actually not sowing. Some things that we've sown in our garden over the years that probably don't need to belong there. These things known as weeds that strangle the fruit and the plants, the vegetables, the flowers that we want to have growing in our garden, but they just can't grow to their fullness because those weeds are there strangling them, stealing the nutrients, stealing the water, choking these other things out. And so the exciting thing is we've done that. We've said, okay, some of you have talked to me throughout the week saying, I found a weed and I pulled it. Not just in my literal garden, but in my life. And so now we're ready. We've prepared the ground for what I really believe God wants to do this morning. And that is give us some things that we can plant. And so let's ask the Lord to help us do that this morning. In our earthly garden, you know, it's those weeds, they strangle us. They keep the plants from growing. And the chipmunk gang, we're working hard on them. I told you about them last week. That are going into the community garden trying to destroy. So my dog, Emma, she's out there. Once a day, she patrols that garden. I don't think she's very successful, but I have found out she really likes eating tomatoes. So now I have another problem in the garden. I have to keep... She only eats, Joanne, she only eats the tomatoes that have fallen on the ground. She's too lazy to pick them. She just takes the stuff that's fallen on the ground. In our spiritual lives, we said last week that weeds of indulgence and pride and discontent, they strangle our spirits. They keep us from living the abundant life that God has for us, and they keep us from producing fruit in our spiritual gardens that allow us to bless others and draw others to Jesus. We can't be the light that we're called to be in the darkness when our garden is full of weeds. So this week, yeah, let's focus a time of planting the seeds that produce what we desire for a garden. In our earthly gardens, we want vegetable plants that are that are dense and thick and strong and can produce fruit, not unlike we see here today. In our spiritual gardens, we want the fruit of the Spirit. That's what Paul's talking about in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit that we can grow and cultivate in our lives that shows the world what it means to truly walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Now, I do want to take a second. We acknowledged the gardeners last week, the people that come and take care of the community garden, so we have food to give out at the food pantry and to give out at the store to those in need. And the items up here today were all harvested yesterday from our community garden. Don't they look amazing? When our garden is properly cared for and it produces fruit and vegetables that we know are good for us and healthy, they just look so good that you really can't help yourself but to just, you know, grab one. Oh, that's good. Now I've got to wait because it was bigger than I thought. What I said last week, there is nothing like a tomato that comes out of your garden. The grocery store can try all they want. They can't duplicate that. So guess what? I probably shouldn't. Well, it's too late now. This is here for you folks. After service, it's an incentive to respond to the altar call. Because after service, this fruit and these vegetables will be here. They were harvested for you to take home as a gift. Now, there may not be enough for everybody, but first come, first serve. We want you to take this home with you today. And I have something else that we'll talk about later that you get to take home with you as well. So let's jump in today. We've already dealt with the seeds, the weeds that we want to get rid of, that we're tired of. We don't want to grow in our garden anymore. So let's talk about the seeds of the fruit of the Spirit. And of course, as any good preacher would do, I've broken those up into three categories because that's how we do these things. Seeds of obedience, seeds of humility, and seeds of thanksgiving. Seeds of obedience, humility, and thanksgiving. The fruit of the Spirit, as was read to us by my lovely wife, Jessie, did a great job, are produced by these seeds, and they draw others to God. Not unlike this garden produce. I'm going to restrain. I won't eat anymore because that was awkward. But much like the fruit in our garden draws us to it, it actually makes me want to eat healthy when I see this. And for those of you who know me, I'm not going to. That's a struggle. So the first is the seeds of obedience. And the fruit of the Spirit that I connect with that this morning is that fruit of self-control. How many of you have trouble with your fruit of self-control? You know, I've thought about this, and most of us know already. We know the commands of the Bible. Most of us know the teachings of Jesus. We have a pretty good idea of what God would expect us to do in a lot of different situations, but I don't know about you, I often fall short. I often stray. And for me, a lot of it has to do with self-control. Now, I've gotten a little bit better over the years, but most of you know, I think a lot of you know, that I help lead Celebrate Recovery here at Bethany. It meets at the Blessing Barn every Tuesday night at 6:30. There's a commercial. You're welcome to join us. I started in Celebrate Recovery as a leader in 2008. And I remember the first time I had to make amends. I had to go to people and ask forgiveness. And almost everything I had to ask forgiveness for was because of my lack of self-control. Believe it or not, I was sort of hot-headed. I wasn't very patient. I didn't have a lot of room for people who didn't do things the way I wanted them done or didn't do them my way or caused me to not be able to do the things that I wanted to do the way I wanted to do them. And I had to make amends to a whole lot of people because of a lack of self-control. Proverbs 25:28 talks about self-control this way. It says, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. When we lack self-control, we open ourselves up to any and every type of attack from the enemy. The walls of a city, when they're built and they're strong, they obviously provide protection to that city from the enemy. They also provide a place of fellowship. They naturally build neighborhoods or form neighborhoods, and they form a safe place where children and adults can come out of their homes and play and fellowship and hang out and get to know each other. And walls in the ancient city especially also provided places for commerce. Jesse and I years ago had the opportunity to be in Israel for 5 weeks. And one of the things we loved to do was go into the old city. And a lot of the old city at this point is set up as shops. And within those walls, those city walls, are the places of commerce. You can walk through, and much as it was in the day that Jesus was walking there. And so when the city walls are healthy, people feel safe, they hang out together, they get to know each other, commerce is booming, they don't have to worry about attack. But when the walls and the city are in disrepair, there really isn't community. People live in fear. Commerce fails. People are on the edge, and all of their interactions with each other are strained. So self-control are personal walls. Self-control provides protection from attacks and the temptations of the enemy. When we have self-control planted in our lives, we're able to control things, wicked, nasty things like our moods and our words and our reactions to the things that are going around. We have self-control in our schedule, with how we handle our money, with how we deal with our health, the physical health of our body. And a balanced life is possible regardless of situations if self-control is planted and growing in our lives. Regardless of situation, regardless of stress, even despite attacks of the enemy that come to us, we can remain calm. We can remain cool. We can remain collected. So how do we plant these seeds of obedience and self-control in our lives? Well, it's a really difficult equation. That's the word. It's not rocket science, oddly enough. And I think it's going to come up on the screen here. First of all, when something hits you, you pause and you pray and you think. Stop long enough to ask yourself, how should I respond to this? Have a system of accountability in your life. People that you can go to, that you can say, this is happening to me. This is how I'd like to respond. What do you think about this? These are people that know the scripture. These are people that are mature. These are people that can hold you accountable, and they can say, you know what, Jeff? I don't think that's the way you want to deal with this issue. Let's temper you a little bit. I need those people in my life, and so do you. And then thirdly, shockingly enough, do what the Word of God says. If we do that, our walls are strong. We're protected from the attacks of the evil one, and we can function in this kingdom, regardless of what's happening to us, in a way that we bring safety and security to those around us. The second type of seed we need to plant in our life is a seed of humility. I put three of the fruit in this category: goodness, kindness, and faithfulness. Faithfulness is that fruit that says we're committed and we're utterly reliable. We are true to our word. When the fruit of the spirit of faithfulness is in our lives, if I tell you, for instance, that I'm going to pray for you, you know I'm going to pray for you. If I tell you I'm going to be there for you when you need something, you can know that I'm going to show up. Kindness. Something we extend to people with no expectation, out of a deep inner security. I know who I am in God, therefore I know who you are in God, and I'm going to extend kindness and love to you regardless of whether I get something back from you or not. This is not if I do this for him, then he has to do. This is, I know God's going to supply my every need, so I'm going to help supply yours. And then goodness. an honesty and a transparency that allows us to be the same, consistent in every situation. Boy, that would be great to have that. How many, are you really good at that? I'm not always really good at that. Being consistent in every situation. Jonathan Edwards deals with humility. He says this: we must view humility as one of the most essential things that characterize true Christianity. In Celebrate Recovery, we say this. We say principle one says, realize that I am not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. This seed of humility has everything to do with knowing who we are and who we are not. I'm constantly trying to remind myself and others around me who I am and who you are. So you maybe have heard me say this before. Every one of you this morning, you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and so am I. And so that's an awesome thing to know and to get a hold of. And when we understand that, then we can treat everybody around us the way that God would want us to treat them. Now, that doesn't say we're God. It says we're sons and daughters of God. So when we put God in the appropriate place where he belongs in our life, then we can look to God the way the psalmist did in 146, where he said, he is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. We sang some of these words this morning. And he gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. He frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. That's God. Those are his jobs. Those are the things that he does. And when we understand that that's not our job, that's not who we are, then we can let God do his job and we can do what he's called us to do, which is be sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we can treat everybody else as sons and daughters of the Most High God. When we get this, it's easy to treat the people around us with kindness and goodness. It's easy to be humble, to approach situations knowing that I may have an answer, but I'm not your Savior. I may be able to offer advice, but ultimately I'm not your God. He is. And it's my job to direct you to him and to have him help you. He may work through me. That's great. But it's ultimately God's responsibility to make change. And when we can do that, we can live in humility and have goodness and kindness growing in our lives, then we can put the needs of others before our own. We can realize that we're all humans and none of us are going to get it right all of the time. And I'll stop thinking that I do. And I'll stop expecting others to do things the exact way that I want them done and realize that there might be more than one way to do something. And whether my way takes two steps and yours takes three, or mine takes four and yours takes three, I don't care. We're just called to do what God has called us to do. And it will help me, just talk about me, to realize that I'm not the center of the universe. That's hard. But it's true. And neither are you. So we need to live planting seeds of humility, understanding who is God and who is not. There's one God. We read about him this morning, who sets the captives free, who delivers prisoners, who's the father to the fatherless, who loves the unlovable. It's our job to be his son and his daughter. We get from him some awesome gifts, but we are not God. Plant the seeds of goodness, and kindness, and faithfulness in your lives. The third gift, the third seed, seeds of thankfulness. There's five here. Gentleness, forbearance, joy, peace, and love. Gentleness can be described as a kindness of behavior founded on strength and prompted by love. Forbearance, patient self-control, restraint, and tolerance. Yeah, that's a hard one. Just look at Facebook. Joy. I like joy. Delight in God and His salvation regardless of the earthly consequences. We all know these people. They've got the seed of joy, the fruit of the spirit of joy growing in our lives, and sometimes these people really annoy us because they seem happy in every situation. Things falling down around them in their family, in their job, in their home, in the world, and they're still happy and they're praising God, and we're saying, what is your problem? Don't you see how horrible everything is? And they say something like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Which is the appropriate response, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, isn't it? Next, peace. And love, confidence in the wisdom and the sovereignty of God. How can you be so calm when this is happening in your life, or that's happening in your life, or you just got laid off from work, or you just lost this or that, or how can you be so calm? Because I have a confidence in the wisdom and the sovereignty of God. That's a fruit of the Spirit. I don't understand everything that's going on around me, but I know the one who does. And I'm going to rest in that. And then love. To serve a person simply because they're created a child of God. Not for what they bring to you. I'm talking about unconditional love. Agape love. That's the kind of love that allows a place like the Blessing Barn to work, that allows the place called the church to work. We're called to love each other regardless of what the other person brings to the table. I'm called to love you. If you come up to me, I'm called to love you. I don't even need to know you. I don't need to know what you can do for me in return. God says that's what He does for us. I love you no matter what. No matter what you do, no matter where you're going, no matter what you believe, what side of a political system or debate you're on, regardless of where you came from, what you have, what you don't have, God says we're supposed to love each other. When we have these fruit of gentleness, forbearance, joy, peace, and love growing in our lives, then we can actually live in a thankful place. Celebrate recovery. I'm quoting a lot today. Maybe that's because some of it needed a reminder that it exists. We talk about this living and maintaining an attitude of gratitude. No matter what happens to us, no matter what we're going through, we can find something to be thankful for, can't we? We can find something to thank God for. He loved us, died for us, made a way for our salvation. There's always something to say, you know, God, the situation I'm in right now is rough. It's not where I would choose to be, but I'm thankful for the people that you've surrounded me with, for the love that you have for me, the fact that you did send your son to die on a cross for me so that I can live with you forever. There's always something to be thankful for. So how do we do this in our day-to-day life? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18, I think, gives us a great equation for this. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Sounds like a pretty good formula. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. He says, this is God's will for you. We spend so much time trying to figure out what God's will is for our life, don't we? And we always look at God's will as being what? A present thing or a future thing? For a lot of us, we focus on God's will for my life as a future thing. What is God's will for my life when I get the job I'm looking for? When I get the degree I'm striving for? We've got some new college students, some starting tomorrow. Their first classes of the semester. They start this week. And if they're not careful, their thought process will be, what is God's will for my life 4 years from now after I finish my degree? And God's concern for you is, what is God's will for you now? Exactly where you are. Not next week. Not when the next job comes, when the promotion comes, when the raise comes so you can afford the things that you want or need. His concern for you is his will for you right now. And this scripture says his will for you is to rejoice, pray, and give thanks. It's not some far off future goal. If we focus here, rejoice, pray, and give thanks, that future goal that he has for us, whatever that is, it'll come. Probably sooner than we think if we focus here. When we planted seeds of discontent, we spent some time there last week. It was sort of uncomfortable, wasn't it? When we plant seeds of discontent, we walk around with an edge to us. I know because I spent a considerable amount of time walking around planting seeds of discontent. I walked around hard and sharp and ready to lash out, kind of hoping for it. My Seinfeld, I promise, right? I have to have a Seinfeld reference. Crazy Joel DiVola. If you don't know who he is, it's okay. You're probably not missing much. But he has one episode where he quotes, I leave my apartment door open, hoping that an intruder will come in so I can beat him down. When we plant seeds of discontent in our life, we walk around like that. Just cross me. I dare you. I will beat you down. I'm looking for a way to make me look better than you or to prove to the world that you're wrong and I am right. That's not how a child of the Most High God is called to live their lives. So when we plant seeds of thanksgiving, we're softened. We walk around with joy and peace and love, ready to lift up somebody, ready to help a brother or sister in need, hoping and praying not for a chance to put somebody down, but hoping and praying for a chance to edify and encourage someone to pick them up and help them get closer to who God has called them to be. So this really brings us to what I want to leave you with this morning. Why pull the weeds? And why plant the seeds? What does it look like to the believer and the non-believer when we plant and cultivate the seeds of the fruit of the Spirit in our life? Why bother doing this? So let's start with the believer. See, because growing the fruit of the Spirit in your life isn't just for you. It's for people around you. And so let's see what he has to say. First of all, when we cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, when it goes to how we interact with other believers, believers are drawn to you. Why are they drawn to you? Believers are drawn to people who cultivate the fruit of the Spirit because gossip, harsh language, pride, putting others down are not your fruit. When you're known to be the nasty, swearing gossip who loves to put people down, are people drawn to you? Typically, no. But if you're known for the person who encourages others, is trustworthy with a confidence, is a peacemaker who naturally loves others, if those are your fruit, people are drawn to you. Some of them understand why, some of them don't, but they know, I want to be with that person. I want to share my good and my bad with them. They rejoice with me when something great is happening, and they mourn with me when something bad is happening. Now, that's not the end all. But that's part of this fruit, is that people will be drawn to you, so you then in turn can point them to God, and they can be drawn closer to God. And we need that as believers. None of us are as close to God as we need to be or even want to be. And it's our job in community to bring each other to a place closer and closer to God. Why do we provide? Because people who cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in their lives can be a godly sounding board, can offer biblical counsel. God will answer your prayers on behalf of the needs of others, and you will help people be better believers as they watch you navigate the good and the bad of life. There's consistency that comes with living the fruit of the Spirit. Life is like this. I know that. I get it. But the more we cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, the more we travel through life like this. There's a consistency there because we know the joy of the Lord is our strength. We know there's a peace that comes because we believe that God's word is sure and that he is sovereign and he controls our destiny. And so as a community of believers, it's our job to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives so we can help each other. What about the non-believer? We use this phrase a lot, and I think it's important to look at it this way. When we cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, it allows us to be Jesus with skin on to the non-believer. What does that mean? Well, non-believers will be drawn to you, whether they realize it or not, because you have peace in the midst of a storm. Non-believers will watch. They watch. They know. Unless you keep it a deep, dark secret that on Sunday mornings, you go to Bethany Community Church for an hour and a half to 2 hours, chances are they at very least know that you're a churchgoer. But I think for a lot of you, because I know you, most of the people that interact with you also know that you're Christian. And they watch. And they pay attention to how is this Christian dealing with what's going on in the world around him or her. You have peace in the midst of the storm, whether it's personal tragedy, loss of a job, again, this political climate that we see, the hatred in the world. You respond with peace, joy, steadfastness, and non-believers wonder why. And they will ask you. And you have the perfect opportunity to share with them about the steadfast love of the Lord that's never ending. The peace that comes from knowing that God is sovereign and that his word is true. They see that you live by a biblical standard, but when you produce the fruit of the Spirit, you're not judgmental. You're not Pharisaical with the love that you have and the standards that you have. Instead, you live it out in front of them with humility and thankfulness and love, and they're drawn to that as well. They see that God is the source of your strength. They see that your marriage contract with your spouse is something that you hold sacred. They see that your language is, they hear that your language is different and you respond differently in situations than maybe they do. And that you're able, this is the key, that you're able to maintain those standards and still love them and accept them for who they are. Because you understand what Jesus meant when he said, let he or her who is without sin cast the first stone. Non-believers come to know God as a result of being drawn to you because you get to answer the question, why are you different? Why is your response different? Why aren't you freaking out about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton being on the ticket? Because my God is the ruler of everything. He's the Alpha and Omega, and frankly, he's in charge. And he decides who's in charge of this nation and this world. And so I'm going to rest in that. Am I going to vote? Yes, I am. And I'm not telling you how. Am I going to participate in the process? Yes, I am, because that's biblical as well. But I know who's ultimately in charge. And I have to rest in that, especially in these days of chaos. And you can explain why and how. When you plant the right seeds in your garden, you reap the right fruit. When you plant the right seeds in your spiritual life, you'll reap the right fruit. And people will see that. I can guarantee you that some of you are going to come up here this morning and you're going to grab some of this produce and you're going to say, I've never been able to grow a zucchini that looks that nice. I got to find somebody from the garden and find out what type of zucchini seed are they using to grow a zucchini this beautiful. Or I've never tasted a tomato that tastes this good. I got to find out what seed they use to get that tomato. The same thing will happen in your life. People will see the fruit that you produce, and they're going to come to you, and they're going to go, how did you do that? What seed did you plant in your life? And you're going to be able to tell them how you did it. And they're going to want to do it too. Seeds of indulgence, pride, discontent, we talked about last week, they probably will attract some people to you. Probably not the people you want to be with. And I can promise you they're not going to stay very long, because at some point, their pride, their discontent, their need for indulgence is going to conflict with yours, and they're going to go off and do their own thing. But the fruit of the Spirit, the seeds of the Spirit, will draw people to you and focus people on God. And we will all be stronger and better as a result. Just a note, you can't plant the seed in someone else's garden. They have to plant it. You can't plant the seed in their garden. They may think it, they'll think it's a weed because they didn't put it there. So focus on your own garden. Focus on your own fruit. Let them come to you and say, how did you get this? And then you can say, well, by the glory of God, I did this. And they can plant that seed in their life. You want to see the hatred in your family leave? Plant seeds of eternal life. You want to see the hatred in your community and your world start to dissipate? Plant seeds of eternal life. You want to see the violence in your world start to fade away? Plant seeds of eternal life. Sow the seeds of eternal life in your garden. Produce the fruit and the beauty that only God can produce through you. Last week, we pulled some weeds. Last week, and I want to thank you for the number of folks that responded and said, there's some stuff in my garden I want to rip out. I purposely made sure you understood that that wasn't all we were trying to do over that week and this week. It's not enough to just rip out the weeds. Now, it's time to see and ask God, what do you want me to plant? And some of you, he's already planted that seed. I want you to focus on thankfulness. I want you to focus on humility. I want you to focus on self-control. I want you to plant this new seed in your garden, and we're going to cultivate this together, and we're going to see what it does. We already have a beautiful garden three doors down producing this amazing fruit. And again, this is yours when you leave this morning. And we already have a beautiful spiritual garden here at Bethany. Don't get me wrong. But there's more we can do. And you pulled weeds last week to make room to plant. And so I'm going to ask you all to stand up. And as Brian and the band lead us in one last song, I'm going to ask you to respond like you did last week. If God has planted a seed in your heart and your mind today that he says, I want you to cultivate this. Maybe it's love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness. I want you to plant that in your life. I want you to come forward and stand here. Nobody's going to ask you what the seed is. We're just going to stand here and announce to God, there's some planting I'm going to do, and I need your help. So let's pray, and then you come, and they'll lead us in this song. Father God, we thank you, Lord, praise you for today. Thank you that you care about us. You care about us physically, that you've given us amazing things that we can plant in our garden. They taste good. They're good for us. They make us healthy. They make us strong. They allow us to live the life that you've called us to live. And Father, I thank you for the spiritual fruit that you've called us to plant in our gardens as well. Same thing. They make us strong. They allow us to be the people that you've called us to be. And they draw others to you. And so, Father, today I ask that you speak to each and every one of us about something, just one seed, one thing we can plant in our lives, something we can do differently to change who we are, to have new fruit, and to draw other men and women to you. We give you praise in Jesus' name, and we thank you in advance for the harvest that will come as we all plant this seed. In Jesus' name, amen. So if God's spoken to you, please come join us here at the altar as we worship him.
You have been listening to the Bethany Community Church Podcast. For more information, please visit us online at bccma.org. Thank you, and God bless.